Hello, I'm Emma Rutland, the Duchess of Rutland, and this is my podcast, Duchess, a podcast in which I explore the most historic homes in the UK and meet the inspiring women who lead them. As a daughter of a Welsh farmer, I grew up far away from the glamour and wealth of aristocracy. But my life changed forever when I fell in love and married my husband, the 11th Duke of Rutland. Suddenly, one of Britain's most historic buildings was not only my home, but under my care. I wanted to learn more about this world and hear the stories of the other women, like me, the custodians of these great homes. So, in this podcast, I will travel to breathtaking homes, learn incredible history, and meet the inspiring women who lead these estates today. So please do join me on my very special journey. This is Duchess, the podcast. Before we get started, I'd like to say thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Circle DNA. For those who may not know, Circle DNA is a company that specializes in finding smarter, easier, and more effective solutions to your health by testing your DNA. Listeners, you know how much I love to learn about family history and lineage, and I found my Circle Premium results absolutely fascinating. I learned so much about myself, from my diet and nutrition, skin and fitness, to common diseases and cancer risks. Circle DNA believe there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to healthy living, and something I've learned from visiting all these different homes and meeting so many wonderful people along the way is that we all are so very different, with our own unique outlook and our own unique stories to tell. So developing your own unique approach to your personal health makes total sense. If you sign up to Circle DNA, you will receive your DNA testing kit in the post. Use the easy-to-follow testing instructions to self-swab at home. Send your completed swab to their laboratory for analysis, and within 3 weeks, you'll receive your results and personalized recommendations. You will also have the opportunity to book 2 complimentary consultations, one with a health coach and one with a genetic counsellor. To learn more about Circle DNA, visit their website and use the code THEDUCHESS40 for 40% off their DNA test kits. Deep in the heart of Shakespeare's England, where meandering canals meet Elizabethan farmsteads, this is where one of Britain's truly unique and special estates resides, Compton Wynyates. The current property dates back to the 16th century and is known for being a perfect example of Tudor irregularity. Red brick, wide window chimneys rise and poke from the every lapping corner of the crenellated roof. The home is a striking variety of elevation and shape, and every face of the property is beautiful but different. Indeed, this unique home for a unique family, the Comptons, who have been an important and influential family since the 16th century. They have hosted kings and queens. They have prime ministers in their lineage. And in the present day, Lady Northampton lives at the estate with her husband Spenny. The home is not currently open to the public, so I wanted to speak with Lady Northampton to learn more about her and her incredible estate. Coming up on the show, I learn about the orphan child that became one of Henry VIII's closest friends. Lady Northampton elaborates on why Compton Wynyates is such an architecturally unique place, and I'm introduced to the unpublished female poet that was admired by Wordsworth and Sir Walter Scott. But first, I asked Lady Northampton about her own family background. Well, today, listeners, I am absolutely delighted that I am with Lady Tracy, the Marchioness of Northampton. And she is residing in or associated with, I'm trying to get my head around this, but Compton Wynyates. Just explain to us exactly where you are, Tracy.
So right at this moment, Emma, I'm in Northampton. I'm on the Castle Ashby estate, not in the main house, but another little house in the village.
But Tracy, if I may call you Tracy, you haven't always been Lady Tracy, Marchioness of Northampton, have you? Tell us who you are and where you're from.
Originally, I was born in Plymouth in Devon, and dare I say, though, quite an ordinary, down-to-earth background. My mum and dad were also from the Plymouth area. My father was a blacksmith, and my mother was a housewife. And we grew up in a suburb of Plymouth. Quite ordinary, really, Emma. One of the wonderful things about it, I suppose, was that we were surrounded by incredible countryside and the sea. I've got a real love for the sea. So a lot of my early years were spent being outside in nature.
Because you are, which number of wife are you, Tracy, for the Marquess?
So for Spenny, we can call him Spenny, he likes to be known as Spenny, I am number six.
And I'm fascinated, and I won't dip into it too much here, but is very spiritual,
very,
and incredibly, and so am I,
yeah.
And incredibly guided by voices almost, yes. Is that right?
Well, some of that is actually what drew us together. Actually, because we've got a very strong spiritual grounding. You know, we meditate a lot. I'm a yoga teacher. I trained way back. But he is a very special person. And when I met him, which was 10 years ago now, I met him out when I was out in California, in LA at the time. And I had met Louisa, his daughter, a couple of times, but I had no idea on the family background or anything about Spenny at all. And I had a birthday dinner and I invited Louisa and she said, can I bring my dad? And that's really where it all began, actually. So nearly 10 years ago.
Oh my God.
10 years ago, coming up on my birthday on October the 4th. And when we were sat next to one another and we were telling each other story, and I have my own story, you know, Spenny certainly got his. We were sort of doing the usual, you know, so are you married now? And, you know, a little bit about you, tell me. And he, at the time, was going through a divorce. And then I said to him, oh, have you been married before? And he said, I've been married 5 times. And I did nearly fall off the chair, Emma. It was just, okay, it was just like, and I didn't even think of how to respond to that other than I came out with something like, right, okay, well, God loves a trier. It was something like that.
Oh. So could you describe, Tracy, the first time you saw Compton Wynyates?
So the first time I saw Compton Wynyates was almost 10 years ago. Spenny drove me down from London and I had no idea what to expect, no idea at all. I had never been to this part of the world. So I'd never been down to Banbury Way, Tysoe Way. And when we got to the top of the drive at these incredibly beautiful, ornate sort of wrought iron gates, and there was this line of trees, and then right in the distance, you could see this porchway, and I thought I was in another land, actually. And as we drove down, it was just completely breathtaking. It felt like I was just going into another time. I'm trying to think of other words to describe it, but it was very magical, very mystical. And I think it took me quite a long time, many, many months, for my feet to really touch the ground. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And so the Comptons, very old family, how did they acquire all this land and this property?
I think it's fair to say that the connection with Henry VIII was very much a keynote beginning. William Compton's father and Henry VIII's father, Henry VII, were very close friends. And that meant that Henry VIII and William Compton became friends as young boys and grew up in court together. And we remain the closest of friends. My understanding is that William was one of the few of Henry's friends that was allowed to keep his hat off in the presence of the king. He fought alongside Henry. I think they were quite young men, actually. They were early 20s at the Battle of Tournai. And I think it was at the Battle of Tournai where Henry knighted William. And I think that was definitely a turning point in then being knighted and be given a title and being very much on the right side of Henry VIII. And the Comptons have quite a history going way back to 1200, actually. They're one of the oldest English families in the country. I feel very blessed to have a connection with both these incredible places. So I'll begin with Compton Wynyates, which is in Warwickshire, and that was the first home of the Comptons, which the records show that the house that Spenny and I live in now, they started building it around 1240, 1260, and then developed it from that over the years. Unfortunately, there's no record of the architect, but what we do know is that Sir William Compton, who was very close to Henry VIII, because he fought with Henry, he was a very dear friend with Henry, was rewarded in a way which then enabled him and the family to embellish the house, so to expand the house somewhat. But it's a very special home. It's a classic sort of Tudor house, wonderful red brick. It was captured during the Civil War, so it lost the main moat area and the drawbridge. Then the family were able to come back into the house and been there ever since in the late 17th century. And then from that point in time, the families developed. There were two prime ministers. They all worked very, very hard and developed their skills and expanded and were always looking to develop and move forward. Castle Ashby, the land here in Northampton, that was an old Norman castle. And William Compton bought the land and then in the later part of the 16th century, I think it was about 1570, it was turned into the building that we see now, actually. And so it's a typical prodigy house. Prodigy house were very much built for Elizabeth I and to entertain her. So I think over the years, the Comptons have, they've always looked forward. They've always looked at ways in which they can expand and grow and build and support the local areas that both these houses are in.
Unbelievable. But could you describe the history on the construction of Compton Wynyates and describe some of its true architectural beauty?
There are no records of the architect, and there's been a lot of searching around for this over the years, but there's nothing to say who actually built the property. But what we do know is that the family, who go back 29 generations, that they have always lived on that site. But there's been very, very little done to it in recent times. When you look at it, it looks as though it's just as it was when it was created in the 14th, 15th century.
Amazing. Lady Northampton's had such a natural sense of humility and empathy. This is so admirable as a person that takes on the responsibility of leading a grand home needs a tremendous amount of support. So it can often be challenging when you're in the position to provide support for other people. But speaking to Lady Northampton today, it's evident she is someone who constantly has others in mind. This is a quick reminder that you're listening to Duchess, hosted by me, Emma Rutland, and this is a podcast produced by One Fine Play in collaboration with Beaver Castle. Coming up later in the podcast, Lady Northampton opens up about the strange transition involved in moving from a small London flat to a grand stately home, and I learn about the unpublished poet that had very distinguished admirers. But first, I wanted to ask Lady Northampton about the women of Compton. Tell us about, if you would, for one moment, some of the other extraordinary women who have called their home Castle Ashby and Compton Wynyates.
So I came across this extraordinary woman who's actually Spenny's great-grandmother, Louisa Ashburton, and she was very active in the arts and literary circle in the 1850s, 1860s. She did have quite an extraordinary life in the fact that it was unusual at the time that she married quite late. I think she might have been sort of mid-30s, which was really quite old back then, wasn't it? And she married Lord Ashburton, and he was a more mature man, can I say? And they had a very happy 10 years or so. It wasn't that long, and they did have a daughter. And when he passed, she was deeply, deeply grieved about losing him. But she became very close to an American sculptor called Harriet Hosmer, who made some incredible pieces which are here in Castle Ashby House. And Louisa and Harriet became quite close. I think a lot of ladies did back then, didn't they? They really formed these really close friendships. And Louisa and Harriet were, I think, good friends for many years towards their latter years. But I suppose it's Louisa's sort of, she was a brilliant networker and really brought together the likes of Rossetti and Ruskin, you know, kind of that whole Enlightenment, although, you know, that pre-Raphaelite period, which really struck me.
So she was really amazing. I can almost feel her on your shoulder.
Well, and I see her, actually. There's lots of photographs of her in the Castle Ashby house, and she looks as though she was quite a force to be reckoned with, actually. She looks quite Victorian, you know, in some of the black and white images. But I think she was responsible for such a lot, much in the way that I feel sometimes I am, you know. So I'm sure it was no different back then.
And when those eyes look at you from those pictures, do they ever shine into you and say you can do it?
They do. And I think particularly with Louisa, I do get this sense of, yeah, you can do it, girl, and anything's possible. I do feel she's supporting me.
We'd love to hear the story about Margaret Douglas MacLean, who was an unpublished poet whose poetry was so admired by Sir Walter Scott.
She was in this life in the early part of the 19th century. Her godfather was Sir Walter Scott, and she was an expert on the Gaelic harp and wrote lots of music. And Spenny speaks very fondly about her. Obviously, not that he knew her, of course, but he does speak very fondly of her.
Something wonderful about the Gaelic harp, isn't there?
Absolutely. And the harp is in Castle Ashby House, and it sort of stands alone in this room. It's got quite an eerie feel. We sometimes think that she goes in there whatever and plays away. You know, it's still standing. It's sort of like this iconic piece. And then another really special woman is Marianne Alford, who was the sister of the fourth Marquess. And she was one of the founders of the School of Needlework. And again, sort of this phenomenal time for women in the 19th century. And Marianne was around in the 1860s. Yeah, so my sense is of, you know, some real punchy women there, Emma.
Yeah.
Really, really doing their thing, you know, really doing their thing.
And they're nice to be in that tribe, actually.
Oh, it's, yeah, absolutely.
Surreal. So coming back to the present, how would you describe your role, Tracy, today at Compton Wynyates?
I love people. I'm very much a relational person. It's no surprise I'm a therapist for my mainstay job. So I'm very keen on creating a harmonious atmosphere in these incredible places. So I like to think I create, you know, an atmosphere at Compton Wynyates where the staff, the team are there, feel like that actually we're all part of one family. I think that's what it's about. And there's no hierarchy as such. I think, you know, we're all in this together. We're trying to look after these buildings, these spaces for time to come and for generations to come. And I think that's one of my main roles. And I try to tune into the spaces around and the local villages and the people and connect everybody in to the space. And I think the hotel is given quite a good bit of leverage on that in supporting the community, getting people to come and stay and go out to them and do things. So, yeah, I think I'm quite a connector, I would say.
And that was so much the role of these houses back in the day, wasn't it? Because
absolutely,
in so many situations, we were the sort of social security of our community. So we didn't have social security then. And so you were very dependent upon the home that was at the top of the hill to be compassionate with your needs.
Yeah.
But of course, as things have changed, we've had to become far more commercial with this heritage and these estates. But still, which has been fascinating for me, and I'd love to hear what you think about this, post-COVID or even during COVID, there's been an enormous reconnection with the house on the hill because people couldn't go more than 5 miles. And so our gardens were full of people who would have been in Saint-Tropez or in Spain, or, which has been unbelievable reconnection. Have you found that?
We have found that, and we were trying to open up the hotel right in the middle of all that. In fact, we did open it in September last year, 2020, and it's just been quite a challenge, really, because we've had a lot of stop-starting, and everybody in the local area and across Northamptonshire have really wanted to come in and see it, feel it, come back to their old watering hole, because the hotel is quite a well-known spot within the county, and so they were really excited about coming back in. I think now people are really just enjoying coming together, reconnecting. There are a lot of people using the gardens here, Emma, which is wonderful, and just people enjoying being outside.
Do you feel supported and understood in your role?
I definitely feel supported. I feel supported by my own family, by Spenny's family. I've got great friends around me, a lot of them therapists, so they're very understanding and very empathic, and I feel very, very supported by the community, and very much so.
Wonderful. That's amazing to hear. You've had no obstacles then?
I think in the early years of us being together, I wouldn't say there were obstacles, but I think sort of nestling into a very new situation. Prior to meeting Spenny, I lived in West London in a relatively small apartment, which feels really small when I connect back into it now compared to sort of living somewhere like Compton Winniets and with lots of rooms around me. I think that's been quite an adjustment. And also having a small team, small numbers of people around me helping us with our day-to-day sort of activities. So people in the house cleaning. And I think all of that was very new for me. And I think that was quite a big adjustment. When I first saw Compton Winniets, that was before I saw Castle Ashby, you know, I really was really blown away, really blown away. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget just the whole experience of seeing somewhere like that. And I think the only time I had seen and visited sort of homes like these was probably, you know, when I was a visitor going along to a National Trust property. Or
to our listeners, it most probably sounds incredibly spoiled when you say you struggled having people around, but there is something wonderful about being able to shut your own front door, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I think I am conscious of the struggles in the world, and you know, some of my close friends who have a different kind of life to me, really, Emma. And I like to think I've got an awareness of that, and I can share what's going on in my life because they're really good, dear friends. And I think they still see me as the Tracy they knew.
Well, there you have pointed on such a wonderful point. If you've been too connected with the world in which you've married into, you slightly take it all for granted. But what you've just connected on is something which was very dear to me, that you so integrally try to retain you, because if you lose the essence of what you are, what you believe in, what you stand for, if you lose your roots as a human being, you almost have lost the plot, haven't you? And without the foundations, you can't fulfill the role because the role's not true to what you believe and who you are. So in doing this job that we do to support the heritage in which we marry into, we are truly trying to be our own people supporting that role. We're not becoming a duchess. People often say to me, who do you feel you are? I feel I'm Emma, and I happen to be the Duchess of Rutland, but in my soul I'm a Welsh farmer's daughter, and we all have this journey where we're still the same soul, just passing through a space.
Absolutely, Emma. So that's so beautifully said. I think my work as a therapist really helps to keep me grounded. You know, I've got a really busy practice. Sadly, what happened in COVID was I think a lot of people just wanted support and reached out. And a lot of my work continues to be online as it was last year. But there is absolutely something about being in the presence of somebody else who comes with whatever trouble might be going on, however big, however small. I think that work really does ground me. And then actually, and a lot of people that come to me, they see me as Tracy, you know, and that other part that we've all got parts, haven't we? But that other part of me as, you know, Lady Northampton or at Compton Winnie's at Castle Ashby or running the Falcon, that's sort of over in a corner somewhere. And actually, Emma, sometimes that doesn't come out at all. I could be working with somebody for quite a long time. And if they haven't gone online or read anything, I'm Tracy and I'm their therapist and that's all it is, which is quite interesting that.
Well, that allows you to be you within your role. Yeah,
that's right. Amazing. That's right. But I think hearing people's stories and suffering for whatever that might be is incredibly grounding and very humbling for me.
Wonderful. Do you feel a responsibility to preserve the house and the heritage around you that so many generations before you and after you will have to enjoy and share?
Yes, I do feel that responsibility, Emma. I think one of the things that I don't think I've mentioned, but I think that piece around coming from kind of a different world, really, and I wasn't raised in these homes and houses and land spaces. Over the years, you know, I've attended with Spenny a lot of, you know, the monthly estate meetings along with Danny, my stepson, and the trustees and everybody who's involved in maintaining and developing these places and spaces for the future. And so I'm not alone. I've got the family and sort of experts around to support me in that, if that makes sense. You know, I put my hand up and I sort of say, look, I don't know anything about any of this, right? I'm learning as I go. And I learn a little bit more in terms of how to preserve and how to manage a little bit more than I did a few years ago. You know, when I first came into Spenny's life, you know, I was like, whoa, you know, how am I going to get on top of this? How am I going to understand it? You know, I'm not the best sort of figures person in the world, but I hope I've brought other things instead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I can certainly, from where I'm sitting, say, you brought more than you ever think.
Oh.
So what would you say, Tracy, if you were this lady, the Marchioness of Northampton, sitting here on this day in 2021, to the lady of the house six generations before you? What would you say to her?
I'd like to ask her. I'd really love to know what it was like back then, really. And I'd like to have known a little bit more about Compton Winnie's. And, you know, does she have any idea who the architect was and how it came into being? And I'd like to acknowledge as well, gosh, how difficult it must have been back then, how cold it must have been, you know, no electricity. I know some of your other guests have said that when they've talked about life and time back then, but I'm just in awe of how did they navigate around? How did they keep warm? All of that, just the day-to-day life. I'd really want to know what that was like. And also how they managed the death and the loss through all the different illnesses back then as well. And people died and lost loved ones so young back then because there wasn't medicine. And I'd like to talk to them about that and how they coped and got through that.
Yeah. Life was far cheaper, dare I say, then. Because yeah, I remember my mother-in-law saying to me, I was going through the picture gallery and we were looking at a miniature, funny enough, of Elizabeth, one of the duchesses that I have a great connection with here. And she had 11 children, of which 7 survived.
Wow.
And I remember my mother-in-law turning to me saying, it must have been like losing a puppy. And I remember thinking, oh my God, but there was a baby.
Yeah.
But it is that feeling that they did have feelings. When you sometimes look at these portraits, they seem so austere and so fixed and so far away in our mind's eye from how we are, but they have a soul. And likewise, Tracy, on this day, what would you say to six generations on from where you are sitting now? So what would your baton be to the future, Tracy?
I think absolutely follow your truth, you know, listen to your heart and go with what feels right and true for you. And maybe be mindful of the decisions made that impact the future in some way. And watch your ego, if that makes sense. You know, am I doing this for? It's not for me. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe I need to sign up and come and have a therapist session with you, Tracy. But that is so true. What's your ego? Why am I doing this?
Yeah, is it for me or is it really outside of me and for the future and the others, even though we are all one? But I think those are the couple of things I'd say, Emma.
Wow. What a lady. Every little bit of that word can be placed before your name, Tracy. Because you're a lady in every sense of the word. And it has been a total honour and pleasure to sit next to you on this day and hear your story. And what an exceptional story. Lady Northampton, Tracy.
Oh, bless you, Emma.
Lady Northampton makes me feel so assured for Compton Winnett's future. She has such a caring and considerate demeanour, and those qualities are so fundamental for preserving heritage. You have to care about every inch of the home, the surrounding estate, and especially all the people around. Thank you so much, Lady Northampton, for sharing your home, your empathy with us all today. And thank you, Lady Northampton, for joining me on the podcast. Compton Winnett's is a home to be treasured and adored. And as always, thank you to all my dear listeners for joining us also today. Next week, on the final episode of Season 2, I will be meeting the amazing Lady Karen Spencer of Borthorpe House. It is a fabulous episode where I'm introduced to many extraordinary women in the Spencer family. I'm taken through the breathtaking art they have on the estate, and Lady Karen regales some of the ghostly activities they've experienced at their home. See you there. I'd also just like to thank once again our wonderful sponsor, Circle DNA, for supporting the podcast. If you want to learn more about the great work Circle DNA do and make a real investment into your health, visit their website and use the code THEDUCHESS40 for 40% off their DNA test kits. This week on our listener inbox, we have Reiki from Pennsylvania. Her message is as follows. Greetings, Your Grace, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the States. I really enjoyed your first podcast. In fact, it's the first podcast I've ever listened to. I especially loved the ghost stories. I recently lost my dad. He was only 74 and we were enormously close. So now I have something to look forward to every week that I know I'm going to love. I sincerely thank you for doing this project. Truly yours, Reiki. My dad named me after him. Reiki, I'm so sorry for your loss. It's wonderful this podcast has been helping you in what little way it can during this heartbreaking time. Thank you for your message and much love from Beaver. After launching the first series of Duchess, we were inundated with hundreds of emails and letters from around the world expressing the desire and excitement to make the listening of Duchess a reality. To experience these glorious places for yourself in person really can't be beaten. And since receiving all your cherished letters and emails, we've now partnered with the award-winning luxury travel company Abercrombie and Kent to bring our much-loved podcast to life. From guided tours to behind-the-scenes access of private parts of the family home to fishing on the family lakes and staying in grand rooms, our partnership with Abercrombie & Kent enables you to experience what I have had the joy to experience for you and your loved ones. With over 55 years of experience, Abercrombie & Kent specializes in curating luxury holidays in every corner of the globe, connecting world wanderers to interesting places, people, and cultures in real and authentic ways. From Inverary to Beaver and beyond, stay, visit, and explore two or more of the houses featured on our series Duchess. Enjoy the chance to spend time with the people you've loved hearing about. Discover the hidden corridors we discuss in the series and explore the grand homes and gardens on your own private tour. Abercrombie & Kent will help develop your tailor-made itinerary across the UK from one historic place featured in Duchess to the next. For more information, visit abercrombiekent.co.uk/duchess. Couple of quick notes before we go. Important ones. Make sure you subscribe to Duchess the podcast so you get automatically notified about new episodes wherever you listen to a podcast. I want to know about you and what you think of the show. So please be sure to send me your comments and tell me about your own lineage and the women who have inspired you in your life. Please write to me on duchess@duchessthepodcast.com. And if there are any stately homes in particular you'd like me to visit, do send your suggestions to me as soon as possible. I've started a newsletter that includes all this and more and comes straight to your inbox. It's really easy to sign up at duchessthepodcast.com. You've been listening to Duchess, the podcast, presented by me, Emma Rutland, the Duchess of Rutland, produced by One Fine Play in collaboration with Beaver Castle. From Beaver Castle, Lady Violet Manners is the executive producer. From One Fine Play, James Bishop is the executive producer. Kasra Ferruzia is the audio and visual engineer. Connor Foley is the editorial producer and researcher. Additional creative support from Selena Christofies and Theo Banner. Thanks for listening to Duchess, the podcast.